Let us share together in the word from Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report on the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said: "He will be called a Nazarene." This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen. Please be seated. Well, you notice that much of our elf focus is down now with our paper chains and all, but we still have a few little elves, but we've still pretty much been de-elfed up here, which was probably good. One of the things that we did this year was I did the service in the mornings about Elf, and then the evening I did a series on the voyage of the Dawn Treader. C.S. Lewis's focus on the Dawn Treader, and in that then we looked at some key themes. In the evening services, like how God can bring positive, radical change to our lives, and how God gives us help, and how He gives us aid to turn the page on our temptations. And whenever we do turn the page on our temptations, that can be one of the most spiritually enriching things in our lives. And then the Sunday night before Christmas, we looked at how God is our light. And He helps us to sail out of those dark places in our lives into His wonderful, glorious light. Now, what I want to do this morning is to finish up with the Dawn Treader and share with you how God gives us the courage to face the future unafraid. Let me set the stage here for a scene in the movie. His name is Reepicci. He's this little mouse critter with a feather as a hat and a very, very sharp sword. He's a pretty cool guy and one of my favorite critters there in the movie. Not that I'm a big mouse guy, but this mouse has just a heart that is big and as bold as you can get, and he is as courageous as can be. Throughout this movie, he constantly stares fear right in the face, and he does not waver. In one scene of the movie, the voyagers are on this island, and there's this table full of all kinds of interesting food, and there are these vines all hanging down around everything, and the sun is starting to set, and the rest of the crew from the ship, they're getting kind of antsy, kind of nervous, because this table has just kind of appeared, and it's on this deserted island. This is really, really strange, and so the crew really wants to get back to the safety of the ship, but not Reepicci, not this brave little mouse. If they want to go back to the ship, well, that's just fine. But Reepicci is not going to let fear drive him back to the ship. He's going to stick around that mysterious table because he is looking for an adventure. And it's probably going to be found around this strange table. He has no intention of going back to his little bunk on board of that ship. He's staying right here on the edge of adventure. And whenever he's asked why he's not going to come back to the ship for the night, he puts it this way. He says, this is a very great adventure, and no danger seems to me so great as that of knowing when I get back to Narnia that I left a mystery behind me through fear, because of fear. Oh, listen, Reepicheep would stare fear right in the face, and he would overcome that fear with courage. As Eustace says, that dragon was turning away from that dark island. It took a mouse. It took a mouse to challenge him, to remind him of who he is, and as this dragon, and how if he is a mouse, think about what he can be as a dragon. Are you a man, or are you a mouse? If the mouse is Reepicheep, then that would probably be a good thing to be. Maybe the question could be, or should be, could a man like me be that kind of a mouse? I hope so. One of the things that you see over and over again in the Christmas story, the events that lead up to the story and those that immediately follow, is how God's people faced their fears and how they overcame their fear with courage. I mean, think about this. The angel shows up and says to Mary, do not be afraid that you found favor with God, that you're going to give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. And we think about the event of that story. Do not be afraid. I mean, really? An angel appears before you and you're not to be afraid? Right. And besides that, there are plenty of reasons for Mary to be fearful. What would people say about her? What would they think? Who would ever believe in a virgin birth? And yet, what does she do? What does she do? She faces her fear, and she overcomes her fear with courage. The same thing happens with Joseph, as the angel says to him, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. There are plenty of reasons for Joseph to have been afraid. What would people say? People do know how to count. What would people think? How could he really be sure that the virgin birth was true? And yet, what does Joseph do? He faces his fear, and he overcomes his fear with courage. And then look what happens after the birth of Jesus. You talk about fearful events. Joseph is startled in a dream. An angel comes to him in the middle of the night, and he tells him to get up, to flee to Egypt with a child and his mother, and stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. You talk about fear. No fear could be so great than the fear of losing your child. And so that very night, Joseph packs up everything that he has in his family, and he flees to Egypt. Joseph does not become paralyzed in his fear. He takes his family to Egypt as the angel instructs him, and he goes into the unknown, another fearful situation, into this strange land, this place where he has to start new all over again. Think of the courage that must have took, and the courage it must have taken for him to come back to Israel. I mean, this was still a fearful time. Herod had died, but his son was now sitting on the throne, and this crazy angel tells him to return. Joseph, hey, it's okay to come back now, all safe. And so Joseph goes back to Israel with Jesus and his mother to set house up again, and then he learns that Herod's son was the ruler of Judea. It's like, whoops, angel forgot to tell me that one. So then this angel warns him in a dream again, just a little late, and you don't hear the conversation like you did with the other two times that he spoke with the angel. The angel probably says something like, you know, sorry, Joseph, my bad, you need to go to Nazareth. And Joseph says, really? As he's leaning there on the signpost that says Nazareth, 1 mile. Now, if you have your contemporary Bible, version Bible, it's all written out there. But if you read this story closely, it's really kind of screwy. I mean, think about it. The angel tells him that it's all safe, and then Herod's son is there, and so maybe it's not so safe. And then the angel says, maybe you ought to go to Nazareth. You know, I think Joseph had to be one of the most courageous people of the Bible. Not only does he evade a king and their army, the king's army that is after him, and he does whatever it takes, standing up against his greatest fears, but listen, he also stands up to an angel and basically says, no, I'm not going around King Herod's son. Give me a new plan. New plan. I want to tell you, Joseph had the courage to face his greatest fears. And like Reepicheep, he stared fear right in the face, and he overcame that fear with courage. And I wonder if there's anything in our lives that we might fear today. Especially as we enter into this brand new year with all the possibilities that it might bring. Is there anything in our lives today that we might fear? In preparation for today's message, I came across a list of almost 600 different kinds of fears that people have. Like the fear of heights. There's a fear of gaining weight. Imagine that around the holidays. There's a fear of getting wrinkles. There's even a fear of sermons. I don't know if that's getting one or having to set through one. I'm not sure. There are close to 600 fears on that list in which people can have. What would be a big one? What would be a big one for you? I heard a story about a little boy who was talking to his dad, and he asked his daddy, he said, Daddy, he said, are you afraid of spiders? Dad said, no. He said, are you afraid of thunder? And his daddy said, no, I'm not afraid of thunder. Are you afraid of ghosts? He asked. His dad said, no. He asked his dad, are you afraid of robbers? Of course, his dad said, no. And finally, the little boy said, wow, Dad, it looks like the only thing that you're scared of is mommy. And close to 600 different fears in which people can have. What would be the big one for you? What would be the big one for you? Maybe the best thing that we can hear this morning are the words of this angel. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Face your fear. Overcome your fear with courage. And listen, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing to be fearful. In fact, a good, healthy dose of fear is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it's a basic human instinct that keeps people safe, or sometimes even keeps us in line. It's like whenever Mama would get that wooden spoon out, you knew all about fear, right? No, Mama, no. But we teach our kids about fear to keep them safe, do we not? Don't run out into that busy street, right? Yeah. Don't walk, Mama might say, don't walk with your eyes closed. Don't talk to strangers. Don't talk to strangers, yeah. Stay away from the fire. You know, don't pick your nose, or the boogeyman might bite the end of your finger off. I don't know. But fear is not necessarily all that bad. This instinct can be used in a positive way for a positive purpose. However, when that instinct cripples us from embracing what God has for us, when we're ready to take that step of faith, a step into that great unknown, and then fear kicks in and we get stuck, see, that's when fear becomes our ruin. Oh, we can still do good things for the Lord, no doubt, but we'll never know the possibilities that God had for us unless we truly embrace our fears. You know, Mary could have said no. She didn't have to be the handmaiden of the Lord. She could have said no. I'm too afraid to become the bringer of the Messiah into this world. Would God still have loved Mary and would have blessed her in life, do you think, if she said no? What do you think? Of course God would. I have no doubt that God would have blessed her in life. But I'm also sure that some 2,000 years later, no one would know anything about this little peasant girl, except for maybe she was too afraid, if she made it into the Bible, that maybe her reputation would have even surpassed Doubting Thomas. I don't know. And no doubt the mother of Jesus may have had a very different name. I mean, folks could be praying to Bertha, you know, "Hail Bertha, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." That would be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Scary. But Mary embraced her fears, and she didn't let them paralyze her. She overcome her fear with courage. You see, our God is a God who I believe will not ask us to do or to be anything that might bring us to utter ruin. Now, we might be uncomfortable with what we might face, and we might not like where we are at times. I'm sure Paul and Peter and the other disciples of Jesus didn't care too much for prison or for stoning or for the occasional flogging. But God will not lead us to something new or even something frightening and not go with us every step of the way. And we need to know that. And we need to trust that here in our church and in our lives. See, the question is will we have the courage to trust God enough to go, to be? Will we have the courage to face our fears, to face the unknown, knowing that God will go with us? Now, I haven't counted them, but I've read somewhere that there are around 365 times in one way or another that the Bible tells us to fear not. 365 times. You know, that's one for every day of the year, isn't it? 365 times the Bible has something to say to us about having faith, to take heart, to fear not. You know, whenever you study the words of Jesus and his commands to us to love and to give of ourselves and to reach out and all of these things, he talks a great deal about fear. You know, over 20 times Jesus tells us to have faith, to take heart, to fear not. 20 times, does that surprise you? Would it surprise you to know that he spoke more to us about fearing not more than any other command? more than the command to love? And the command to pray? Yeah. And listen, his commands to love and to pray are very important commands, but the command he repeats most often is that of fear not. Don't be afraid. Perhaps Jesus knows that fear really is a struggle for people. And he knows how fear can paralyze us, how fear can keep us from doing all that we are meant to do and being all that we are meant to be in Jesus. The commands of Jesus were meant to bring life, you see. His commands give life. His commands are not given to restrict life. Instead, his commands are given so that we might have an enriched life, an abundant life. When he commands us to have faith and to take heart and to fear not, this is so that we can have that kind of abundant, that kind of enriching life. I want to tell you, at the end of our days, who wants to look back and wonder what life could have been? What kind of dreams could have come true? What kind of goals could have been achieved? What kind of an adventure could have been ours if only we had faced our fears and overcome our fears? You know, as you and I embrace this new year together with new possibilities, with new problems, with things that are going to stretch you, it's going to stretch our church, it's going to stretch our faith. It's my hope and it is my intent that we be like that mouse, Repetit, that we be like Mary and Joseph, who stared fear right in the face and who overcame that fear with courage, so that we might be about God's purpose and we might be about God's will in our lives and for our church that He has given us to serve here in this community. Listen to Jesus' words. Don't be afraid. Fear not. In the words of Reepicheep, have courage to face the future unafraid. And why? Because God will always go with you. God will always go with us as a church. God will always go with us as His people. We're not to fear. God's got things in control. We may think sometimes that things are out of control, but nothing is ever out of God's control. For He is God, and He is good. And He has revealed that to us time and time again. And I believe He'll reveal that to us this year and in every year to come. Don't be afraid. Have courage to face the future unafraid. God will always go with you. Let's prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. It was a night in which Jesus was betrayed. He took the bread and He blessed it and He broke it and He gave it to His disciples saying, "Take and eat, for this is My body broken for you." Following the supper, Jesus took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to His disciples saying, "Take and drink, for this is the blood of the new covenant which is poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you take and you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of Me until My coming. This is the blood of Christ, poured out for you, poured out for all." Let us pray. Loving and holy God, we thank You for this time this morning, for this opportunity to meet around this table with You and to share in this sacrament of Your body and Your blood. We'd ask, Lord, that You would enter into these elements of this bread and cup, and so that as we partake of it, that we partake of You. Fill us to overflowing with Your Holy Spirit and Your love and Your grace. Reveal to us what it truly is to face our future and to be courageous in that and not to fear. Lord, lead us in this time, and may we just always serve You and love You with all of who we are. Forgive us our sin and make us whole in You, Jesus. For this we ask and praise You in Your precious name. Amen.